Nerdish,
nerdy,
nerd news.
Hi, and welcome to Nerdish, Nerdy, Nerd News. Come along and ride with us as we explore, discuss, and nerd-splain some of the most interesting topics of today.
Hey, I'm Tim. Hung around with nerds a lot growing up, hoping that it would rub off. I think it kind of did, because I'm kind of nerdish. As always, my co-hosts.
Hey, thanks, Tim. I'm Christian. I've been playing and writing, creating games and Dungeons & Dragons since high school. My idea of a relaxing weekend is playing vids with my buds online. I also used to do complex math troubles with my dad for fun. I am very nerdy. And with us to help us understand the world a little better.
Hi, I'm Jess. I've been programming and using computers since the early 80s. I'm a voracious reader, consistently going through about 500,000 or more words a month. I've got some biochemistry in my background, and I've been using technology for as long as I can remember. I am the nerd.
Christian, what is that?
Well, you know, I thought I'd get some video of us flying around the office this morning.
I don't know if they're going to like that, but hey, let me...
No, it, Tim, no.
Give me a try.
No, Tim, no, don't
what?
Do...
It's, Tim. Oh, it's going to get stuck in some... Oh, man, it's stuck in Christian's back hair.
Well,
is it going to blow up now?
I don't know. They can do that. So I'm going to try and power this off so that we don't blow up the office where we work.
That's a great idea. There. Drones.
Do you think we got some good video this time, Tim?
I don't know.
You know, we got to put stuff on our Patreon for people and YouTube and all the socials.
We're really probably not supposed to be flying it around the office like
well,
that.
Well, hey, I don't see any signs in here, and I don't think the regulations state that I'm not allowed to fly it in the office.
No signage?
No.
We're good
no.
to go.
And you know, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission.
Yeah, you're right. Better to regret something that you did than something you didn't do.
Yeah. I'm sure everybody is like, oh, drones. They've all heard of them, but... Let's just specifically talk about what we're going to be talking about today. A drone, the way we're talking about today is a remotely piloted aircraft system. And there's all kinds of them. Like the most common ones you've seen are like the one we have here with the four propellers on the corners. But some have more and some have less.
Have you ever played with any other than the one you just tried to crash into your coworkers?
That I actually crashed into my coworkers? Yeah. No, I've got a little bit of experience flying them now. But, well, back when they first came out, there's all kinds of restrictions and rules around them now. But, yeah, I thought they were really, really cool the first time I got to play with one. Made its way back to me when it got lost, hit a tree, and it was okay, and...
Yeah, there's some
pretty cool... Got to scare some dogs on the block because I made it follow them around. It was great.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. They've been around for a while now. They started off pretty expensive because the technology was so new. Mm-hmm. And not new as in we couldn't do it, just new as in it hadn't been developed to the point that it was useful.
Well, it seemed like a toy at first.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like just a really kind of cool remote control toy.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they've become so much more.
Well, yeah.
And they have. I mean, you look at what like RC planes were for the last 50 or 60 years. It was a gas-powered or battery-powered propeller strapped onto a balsa wood frame that you spent thousands of hours putting together and painting and, you know. And then
practicing because it's like flying a real airplane.
Yeah. There was no automation about that at all.
No, and that's one of the things that have made drones really open for people to fly because you use your phone for most of them. Some of them have controls and they hover. So if you don't do anything, they just stay in one spot. But if you push the stick forward, they move forward. Yeah. If you pull it back, they move back. So it makes it a lot easier for just someone to pick it up and fly it without worrying about smashing a $4,000 or $5,000 toy into the ground.
Which isn't fun.
No.
Yeah, your heart definitely drops a few few beats when you see that thing fall out of the sky and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. They're not just toys. They're not just toys, though. They have become very useful.
Very mainstream. Yeah. People have realized that there's so much more that we can do with these things than just play with them. Some of the major ones coming out nowadays are like the EMS, police services, things like that are starting to utilize them on a regular basis and carry them in their patrol cars with them because they realize the functionality of them. And I think Jess has got some examples of that. But, I mean, when Tim's out having a rough Friday night and drinking and he falls asleep in the field.
You can find me. But take some good video first.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You got to have some blacktail pictures there.
Yeah.
Soon to be seen on our Patreon. No. One of the problems with drones, however, is because they have become so easy for people to get, they have become extremely regulated. In Canada, Transport Canada has some pretty harsh fines and some pretty strict requirements and regulations for them. So, like, just as an example, here in Moose Jaw, you pretty much can't fly a drone anywhere, like, within, like, 5 kilometers of the city, period, because we have the 15-wing and then the airport.
The municipal airport.
Yeah. Yeah. Municipal airport in the northeast and the 15-wing south of us.
Yeah. Yeah,
you can't be within almost 6 kilometers.
And the heliport
kilometers.
At the hospital. So each of those things you have to be a certain distance away from. You're just, period, not allowed to fly.
Which is understandable.
Yeah.
You know, they've had a few instances in the UK I know of and a couple in the States where guys have flown drones up into, like, Boeing 747s as they're coming to land and gotten sucked into the exhaust.
Yeah, probably not a great time.
No.
That's even wrecking a bigger toy.
Yeah. They have to be within your line of sight. A lot of drones, you can get some really fantastic video. It's remote video and things like that from them. But Canadian law says that they may not leave your sight. You cannot fly them by remote sight. It's not allowed. You can't go any higher than 122 meters, which is 400 feet. Anything
so
higher
is
than that
even with, because I know there is special licensing too. Like there is like your generalized license and then you
yeah,
can get a.
Yeah, like there's two levels of licensing. Mm-hmm. They both require the same training. I'm not clear
course,
on this.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% clear. I know there's one where if a drone is under a certain weight, there's some lesser restrictions. These ones that I've said so far apply to all.
But I believe the course is the same. It's just the equipment you have.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so that's what it's
it's all about
on.
The equipment.
Yeah. All like, about the equipment.
Yeah, with the bigger drones, the ones that we'll talk about in a little while that have other uses besides just flying around for fun, you have to file flight plans and just like you would with a regular plane.
Yeah.
So
it's not any fun anymore.
No,
but it can be. I shouldn't say that because, like as we alluded to before, there are so many. Like you essentially have your when you have a drone and you are licensed and you are competent, mm-hmm. you have your own business.
Oh mm-hmm. gosh, yeah. There's lots of things that you can do with them that are. It's so easy to do now.
Like not just pranking friends.
No,
not perving on your old girlfriend's day.
Right, not doing any of that.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's get into, like, some of those fines are pretty high, like $1,000 flying without a certificate. You have to have your drone has to have your, like, name and address, and it has to be registered. There's places where, of course, you can't fly, which we've talked about. And putting people at risk is another. Those are all things that you can be fined for. And then if corporations, which are flying drones, which is some of the business cases that we're going to talk about, it's like $5,000 to $15,000 for some of these things. And that's per instance.
Wow.
So you could have a fine where you don't have a certificate, your drone is not marked, where you're not supposed to be flying, and you just put people at risk, and
it's
could be looking at $30,000 or $40,000. Yeah.
But you know, it is though, I mean, everybody's like boo, 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 but it's when you see the warning label, don't eat this, it's usually because someone has.
Oh, so you mean the forbidden jelly packs.
Forbidden jelly packs, whatever it is, somebody actually ate it.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, probably I would imagine there's a ton of stories where people have
crashed a drone into a crowd.
Yeah, or misused it some way.
Yeah.
And now
and there's lots in the news. You can see there's airports get shut down because a drone's seen flying within range. And like that's just rude of the person flying the drone. Even though it's like, well, we're nowhere near where the planes are. It doesn't matter.
What they need is a drone to see the person flying the drone.
An automated hunting drone. Hunting.
I didn't do this research, but I seem to remember that it's Hong Kong where the criminals are using drones to do deliveries of illegal goods, and the police are using drones to shoot down the criminals' drones, and then the criminals are using drones to shoot down the police drones.
See, that's a skit. It's like can't even write.
No.
You couldn't even write that if you wanted to.
It's like an escalation of arms, arms race of who has a better drone.
Yeah.
But back to the functionality of these things. It's really only limited to your own creativity.
It is now.
Yeah.
Some of the best examples that I liked when I saw these was the emergency medical drones that they've started to use. Sweden has one that carries an automated AED or defibrillator out to people with suspected heart attacks, and it's currently saved multiple people. It can get to them faster than the ambulances can.
In a cardiac emergency like that, where seconds count, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So 1 in 10 people survives out of hospital cardiac arrest. That's what the numbers are, according to, I think it was the American Medical Association that I looked it up on.
Not great numbers.
No.
That's even with 911 support, where they're coaching someone on how to do proper
CPR
and respiratory.
And you've been seeing, I'm sure you walk downtown here in Moose Jaw and you'll see, I know City Hall has one, maybe Wilson Multicultural Center.
Yes.
There's AEDs that they're in buildings just almost everywhere.
Almost every government building. Yeah. A lot of the sports centers have
them. And you just have to go and grab it if you need to. But when you're talking a big city, Regina, Saskatoon, Calgary, Edmonton, these are larger places where you might not know where there's one.
Right.
And your father, sister, brother, son, or just a stranger has an event. You call 911, and it takes, somewhere around 10 to 15 minutes for an ambulance to get there.
Yeah.
And that's their best time. I think it was in Sweden, it was 11 minutes was the average.
Mm-hmm. That's the average time it takes.
And I'll tell you, when you're doing CPR, 11 minutes is an eternity.
Oh, yeah.
If you can even last that long.
If you can last that long.
Especially if you're on your own.
Yeah. So
in Sweden, they did a four-month study where they used 12 out of the 53 alerts were suspected cardiac arrests. They successfully delivered an AED to the site of 11 of those.
12.
Yeah. And in seven of those cases, the drone arrived before the ambulance.
Guess how long it took, Tim?
4 minutes.
Too high.
2 minutes.
Just a little too high.
Really? Minute and 49.738 seconds.
Pretty close. Yeah. A minute and 52 seconds was the median. So the average,
from
middle.
When the call came in to when the drone was on site.
Yeah.
That is phenomenal.
Whereas an ambulance was 11 minutes. So
that's a life saved for sure, potentially.
Yeah, and the average distance that they traveled was 3 kilometers. Without any
problems,
disturbance or damage to surrounding areas. So think of Moose Jaw. That's halfway across Moose Jaw, pretty much. You could have a bunch of them set up at City Hall right in the center of town. And
so with that in mind now, what we spoke to about the laws and the restrictions, keeping that airspace and that airflow open becomes super critical now, right?
Yeah. So in this case, it would be the city. These are flown by experienced pilots that have trained to fly them, and they're doing it remotely. And it's, the certain restrictions would be relaxed in these cases. But so they're actively able to. Oh no, I can't go that way. There's a construction zone. Or
yeah, but that's the good thing is the these uses now for a situation like this, to have some yahoo like me just flying his toy drone around and getting in the way of
something
like this, you can see why these restrictions now have become so important, because of how the uses of these things have also become so important.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's awesome.
So there's they didn't actually use any of the defibrillators that were
deployed.
Sent there until the paramedics showed up. But once the paramedics showed up, it was already attached and ready to go and had been reading like the heart activity. Right. So when they got there, they literally sat down, looked at it, and they could immediately use them to help. But in cases where if the study were to progress, I don't know if this was back in 2019, so I don't know if they've furthered with it, but the drone could arrive, and through the drone, they could be coached by the operator and how to put the AED on, and a doctor could remotely look at that information and send shocks and do the things that they need to do.
Well, think of all the stuff that just happened out in BC with all the fires over the summer and the recent floods and stuff. I mean, people trapped in their cars, you know, on the side of a highway. Well, now you can actually treat those people. Now you can get them emergency supplies, mm-hmm. which is another thing that...
There's another company in Canada that does that. So that's the next thing that we're going to talk about is delivery drones. Amazon has been trying to do this forever, and I think they've got a pilot in a couple places.
I think so.
A pilot program where you order something and it's there within like an hour.
Really good or really sketchy, one or the two, or both.
Yeah.
But no, that's, in a situation like that in BC where... All the flooding, couldn't get food, couldn't get supplies, medical supplies.
It's actually a fairly local company. It's out of Saskatoon. They're called Dragonfly Drones.
Wow.
And they create these drones that can take 180 kilos or 440 pounds of cargo.
So they can just about carry me.
Up to 200 kilometers away.
Almost.
That's 125 miles. So, you got... Like in BC, you get as close as you can, and then you can send food, water, medical supplies,
radios.
It has become a critical service.
It has, or
spare parts.
Yeah, bridges get washed out to a town. Well, now you can, carry these supplies in.
440 pounds of cargo, though. Well, that's got to be a. That's a different kind of drone right there.
Those are big drones. Yeah. Those are big, big drones. Yeah, we're like talking
8, 10, 12 feet across. Like you're almost like the military drones that you see flying, sorties and stuff.
There's still that side of me that would love to take a drone like that and creep up on my dad from behind and just scoop him up.
They are not quiet.
Fly him across
the street. You heard the one that was flying around here, and that's just a little guy. Yeah. They're not quiet when they're that big. They're
chasing people with that. See, that's the problem. Why guys like me should never have that kind of power.
And like you were talking about now putting AI in that, so it's face tracking someone. I know Elon Musk talked about that. He talked about a swarm of drones with little explosives on them. Now Tim's got a big giant drone that's got his dad's picture on the front of it.
Just chases my dad around all day.
That's like that one book. Was it 1984?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's the good, like every technology, there's the goods and the bads. And if we let Tim have his way, there's going to be a lot of bad happening.
Lots of bad.
But they'd be funny.
They'd be funny. Yeah. They would definitely have their own YouTube channel.
So that company actually has been doing some pretty big and good things with it. The conflict that's currently going on in the Ukraine, they have donated, they said several. So I'm going to assume like three or four. Drones to the humanitarian efforts. So they sent these drones over to Poland. They deliver medical supplies to inaccessible places such as, I don't know how to pronounce this. I'm sorry to anybody out there if I don't pronounce
Mariupol.
This. Mariupol. Or to find people who are trapped in rubble because they can have like IR sensors put on them and stuff like that. So these have been sent for the humanitarian efforts.
Wow.
Yeah. That kind of leads into... Exactly what another use of these drones is the search and rescue.
Search and rescue.
Not just emergency services with defibrillators and supplies, but you equip them with the proper sensors and you can see infrared, you can see other spectrums that the human eye from a helicopter can't see. You can also set them to auto track. So like you said with yours where... some of these, sport filming ones where they track someone.
Do you ski?
I snowboard,
You snowboard? You get one of the, what are those called?
The DJI Mavics and stuff.
Mavics, You put on a little bracelet or you put your phone in your pocket. It links to that. You throw it up behind you. Literally, you toss it up behind you. it turns, it points at you, and then you start skiing down the mountain. And on the bracelet, you can just turn a dial and it'll rotate around you. So as you're going up to that jump to do that backflip, Tim, you can have it come right around in front of you as you do that backflip, and you get that amazing shot
of him face planting into the tree.
And it's at 4K resolution with 120 or I think up to
240
frames per second. So you can do like that nice slow mo shot.
And people could finally understand who I think I am. Wow.
But with all those sensors, with that tracking ability for search and rescue, you can now set those drones basically on autopilot and say, hey, go search for a heat signature in this grid. And it goes and does it and searches for all the heat signatures and can find, like, and they've used it even around here. I know they've used them for finding lost people who have just wandered off from their car, elderly people who have wandered out of the village, you know.
Big time, yeah.
Yeah, 2019, a guy in Minnesota, he uses drones just for he has a business use, agricultural, and around here they do this too. You send the drone up and it will take infrared pictures. Stuff, yeah. No, it takes infrared pictures of the fields.
Right.
And a field that is not as warm as the rest is not doing as well. Because the plants give off heat as they're growing.
Right.
So you can tell that's what his business was. A little six-year-old boy had been playing with his dog and disappeared, went missing. And he'd been gone for 10 hours. They had sent out like 600 people to do search patterns.
Grid patterns
they
and everything.
They had a helicopter. They could not find him. So this guy took his drone and flew it in like a search pattern, and it doesn't say how long it took him, but
it was pretty quick. It was within like an hour,
a couple
or so.
Hours, and he found the dog's heat sense point, right? And so he sent the searchers over there, and the dog had been keeping the kid warm by, you know, staying near him. And when the dog had heard the people coming, it got up, went and got them, and took it back to the kid. And the kid had been found. He was fine. Everything was good, but they couldn't find him until they brought the drone in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what to like more, the drone or the dog.
All he needed was, they just needed that idea. And a drone just had that multiple point of view.
And it's the mobility. Like, because you could do the same thing with police helicopters, but in the middle of Minnesota, the closest police helicopter is probably 10 hours away.
And it's only got so much fuel to fly, and then it has to go back.
Or even the aircraft where, you know, we have police aircraft in the province here that do the same sort of thing. But, I mean, their land speed is minimum 250 kilometers an hour. You're soaring over a field, scanning infrared, but you don't have that flexibility to be like, oh, I see a red dot. Right. Let's move in on that.
You can only get so close when you're in trees and things, whereas, you know, he could just go right down to just above tree height. And
well, even look at the way you were flying it around the office here. I didn't do so well, but like you're so
maneuverable.
Maneuverable.
Yeah. The flexibility of deployment is essential to what a drone really can do. You know, you can pack it in a backpack and do all these things that we're doing, hike in as far as you need to, and then from that point, send up the drones.
Chase Dad right into the bathroom.
Well, let's take a little break here, and we'll come back with some more information about drones, some more uses, and stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll go clean up all the damage Tim has done around the office.
Nerdish.
Nerdy.
Nerd news.
Did you finally get that out of your back here, Christian?
Yeah.
The sweater.
Yeah, we got it untangled.
Okay. It was horrifying, everybody. Oh, the humanity. There was only two tears coming out of his eyes that entire time, though. So, you know, he's quite the man.
Yeah, and the one that came down the left side, he just said, get back in there, Tio.
Yeah. Sucked it back in.
Guys, stop. You're going to start the tears again.
Oh, filming drones.
That's
the one that everyone knows that they're used for, but you don't.
The amateurs use, the pros use.
So in the
19s. Even this little one I have has a tiny little HD camera built into it. the lens is no bigger than that on an iPhone or whatever. Yeah.
In 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, you know, for the last, up until like the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, if you wanted a nice high aerial shot of something, they used cranes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Cranes or planes.
Or planes or helicopters.
Helicopters. But even like I've seen the helicopter cameras, those things are massive. Like it's a giant ball that gets mounted on the front of the helicopter that's like 5 feet across.
And it's expensive.
And it's in
I was going to say, the price tag attached to that.
Well, the camera and then the helicopter time. And
Right.
Yeah. So you got these big cranes, and I'm sure everyone's seen all the making of whatever, and you see like there's the cameraman and the director, they're up at the end of this giant metal swing arm that's 60 feet in the air and gets swung around. And,
yeah.
You know, those were expensive to rig and rent.
Or even shots too, where they would have to rely on, you know, computer animation because they just couldn't.
They couldn't do it.
You have the resources or have the mobility and maneuverability to make the shot and get the shot they need.
Well, I think of one of the most expensive shots to ever do. It typically is Times Square, New York, because to shut down Times Square is virtually impossible.
Yeah.
But I think of like the I Am Legend movie where they actually did have it shut down and they came in early morning, set up all the stuff, set up the scene, which takes time. But setting up that equipment, setting up the cranes to be able to get the cinematic shots, that takes just as long. Well, with a drone, now you don't have to worry about the setup as much of the camera or getting the right camera angle. You can shut down these places that maybe you can only have a half hour, an hour to shut it down. Now all you're doing is setting the scene. You need to set the scene quick, get the actors out there, and then the camera's ready to go. It just goes up in the air and does 20 shots, different angles, and they can all be programmed. Like they can be programmed to do the same shot from point A to point B over and over and over.
Yeah, and you get that same shot. You can do it 15 times the same amount of time it would have taken to do two.
Yeah.
And the cost, those drones, they'll cost $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000. And the camera is the same camera that you'd put on what you're filming with.
Right.
So, you know, you're not buying extra special things. Like,
Get someone that can operate it.
and the ones that I've seen, actually Mythbusters did an episode where they were doing some car drifting and they wanted to get this shot where this car was going around the corner. But they were told, no, you can't put a cameraman there. It's not safe. And they the only way they could do it was somebody that could operate a camera. So they rented a drone. The drone had something like 12 thruster blades on it, and they mounted a camera to it, and they had a guy who controlled the drone, another one who controlled the camera, and they got like these fantastic shots that you wouldn't know how they would have done it otherwise, because the car came within like a foot.
You know, like every industry we've spoke about today, these little pieces of equipment have revolutionized that industry.
Mm-hmm. And become more, well, like look at the rescuing the kids, 600 people for 10 hours. Think of the man hours, just the at minimum wage, how much that is. You're talking like hundreds of thousands of dollars for something that was done by one drone in an hour.
Yeah, those are all volunteers, but you still have to have
the factor
organization and the material, the water, the keeping track of where they are, the radios, the, all of that.
Yeah, it's definitely simplified.
And with all that aside, I know it might be going off a little bit, but really, so you think about how critical of a service this is and how many different opportunities even someone of the entrepreneurial spirit could capitalize on. Relatively speaking, licensing for this stuff is not that hard and relatively inexpensive.
Anybody can go onto the Transport Canada website. They have a full
course list
and everything. You go, there's online training that you do. I think there's only you have to do the testing. I think there's some online testing, and I think there's a couple where you might have to get a proctor for it, but that's like any kind of remote learning where you're taking tests.
Right.
And once you've got that, you've got your drone license, your operator's license, and you know what the laws are and where you can do it. Insurance for flying a drone has become a lot less expensive now, because when they first I was looking at it when they first came out. This was about 2014 when the very first Parrot Bebop was the drone type, and it was it had a high definition camera, and it was a drone that you could fly using your phone, and it just took some fabulous pictures. And I didn't have to because they didn't have the same regulations, but to start a business, I was looking at insurance, and it was liability insurance,
right?
Because you know when things happen, you might crash.
How much it's going to cost to replace my back hair, Tim?
Called a razor, buddy.
I don't think you can put a number on that.
Exactly. Your insurance had better cover
for $1 million for the liability on a drone license. It was up $2,000 a year, right? Which is just ridiculous. And of course, I didn't follow through with that because who has $2,000 to put on to something like that?
Yeah,
that might make you money. Nowadays, you go and you can check, and if you have your license and you're part of like a say the Moose Jaw Aviator Club that does the model planes and drones and things. Now your insurance you're looking at is like less than $500.
So there too, the kind of the correlation there too, it seems, is even though there's a lot more restrictions associated with operating these things, that has also forced the competency level, which has also managed the liability that's attached to these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
A lot of it, too, comes down to many of these devices have now become very automated. Like I said, with the auto hover, when it loses connection to the remote, a lot of them have an auto hover feature that the original ones didn't. If you let go of the stick and there was a light breeze, it didn't auto hover. It just crashed into the ground.
Yeah. The closest tree.
Or I know the Mavics down, the DJIs and things like that you use when you're down in the United States, they have GPS embedded in them. And the FAA, I think it is down the States, they have designated areas that you cannot fly drones. They just won't take off. They just won't. They can't. It'll say not a valid flight area.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, and I mean, there's so much other stuff that they're being used for. Just some of the lists are, I mean, like we've said, with emergency services, so disaster management, crash sites. Archaeological surveys, geological mapping. Like, I mean, when I was going through geology in the 90s, I mean, to be able to have something like this to survey, like we were talking, I mean, you're kind of doing what the riggers and stuff do with the sound location,
right?
Where you're pounding stuff into the ground. Well, this, you can at least do surface geological surveys and see what's there. And with the different sensors, you can actually tell what type of rock it is and find those layers without having to step foot on the mountain.
Yeah. They're also being used for archaeological dig sites to map them all out. Before they had to go in there and lay out all their grids and everything. Mm-hmm. Now they can fly a drone up there, and with its precision GPS, it'll take downward pictures. It runs sonar. It'll map everything down to like just insane.
Well, and you mentioned like especially around here, getting into agriculture. Yeah. Like,
right.
Agriculture is big business here, and I mean, we all of us wouldn't have jobs basically without it. You know, the prairie provinces are kind of run by it and live and die by how well our agriculture industry does. Well, many people are using that now they're using drones for that, you know, spraying crops, doing inspections, like Jess said, to see if it's infrared, if it's growing proper or not, and cattle. I've actually saw one guy, he had three drones that were programmed to herd his cattle. And because of the noise that they make.
Yeah, for sure.
They scared the cattle, and he was able to like herd the cattle with three drones. And you know, you've got wildlife management, like to stay with animals and stuff.
They use that huge. So that, yeah. That's
counting herds. It'll auto count all the heads of a herd. Whereas typically you'd be, you know, sitting on the back of a quad trying to do it or as a
overflying with a plane and like
depending on surveys and
exactly. Law enforcement is one that's a very touchy subject, but in some cases this makes a lot of sense. Right now, when the police get into a high speed chase, a lot of times they're told to back off because they don't want the powers that be don't want the high speed chase to cause peripheral damage and injury. Mm-hmm. That guy or lady that's trying to escape slams into pedestrians or other cars. So what they'll do is they'll say, back off, but they'll tag that vehicle with a drone, and that drone, you can't see or hear it when it's up 200 feet.
Yeah. Right.
And because they're not.
And it'll auto track.
And it'll just pick your car up and it'll track you. And if you go into a tunnel, it'll follow you in the tunnel. And they can keep track of where you are until you decide, oh, I got away. And then they can come and get you. So it takes away that chance of.
But one of the new things, and I'm sure people have seen the videos, one of the things I love about it is those FPS drones. So these are first-person drones. And what it is, and I don't know if you've seen it, Tim, they actually have a full VR headset with like multiple antennas. It looks like some weird alien, like it's this big, massive headset, like a VR headset with usually four or six antennas sticking out of it.
Okay.
And they put these on, and then they've got a regular RC controller. Well, these FPS drones can do up to, I think, 200 kilometers an hour. And they are tiny. Like, they're maybe the size of a dinner plate. And these guys are flying these things through old abandoned warehouses. And there's courses.
They're set up in courses inside.
There's full competitions and stuff. And these guys are doing, like, full 360, like, flips and twists. Yeah.
They have to go through things that are 2 feet across with this drone, and they have to go through it at full speed because they're timed for this course.
Yeah.
And it's just outrageous. Go to YouTube and look up drone racing, anybody.
Yeah, drone racing or drone FPS racing.
Oh, my gosh.
It is insane.
Yeah.
Because there has to be a trophy for who's the best drone operator.
Absolutely.
Of course, there is.
And there's one, actually, this one guy, they were doing a shot of an arrow. So this one guy was shooting an arrow in the sky, basically at a target about 100 feet away. And they had this FPS racer bringing a drone in and flying the drone with the camera, and he did a full 360 loop around the arrow in flight.
Oh, wow.
And it took him a few shots. But,
yeah.
I mean, that's the skill level that these guys are at, where they can actually, you know, fly a drone around an arrow in flight.
And that is, I mean,
it rivals F1 race. In my mind, it rivals any kind of racing out there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, what else, you know, can, yeah.
And when they crash, pieces just fly everywhere.
Yeah.
200 kilometers an hour, that dinner plate just goes splat.
Yeah. Model rockets, you know, you have little model rockets you used to buy and have those little engines with the packed with the gunpowder and everything. And
yeah.
Fire one of those guys off and they'd go up 200 feet and you'd be like, oh, that's amazing. It's so fast. There's drones that people build that are basically like little model rockets, but instead of rockets, they're thrusters that are made with the fans. And they go even faster.
Oh.
And they're 100% recoverable because they're just like Elon Musk's. They come back down and they land. But when they take off, it's like it's there and now it's not.
That's unbelievable. It's really when you really put it in perspective. And this is just one. This is just the drones you fly.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. We're not even getting into all the other different kinds of drones that are out there.
Yeah,
it's mind-boggling how
many
large of a part this has become in our in industry.
Go back to us as a kid and like, you know, you think of what a robot was, and it was some cheesy animatronic robot at Disneyland that you thought was amazing.
Yeah,
you know, in just our lifetime alone, it's now become a very functional part of society. Military, I mean, we don't really need to get into that one too much. But I mean, the military drones that can do things that you couldn't do with a human at the controls, mm-hmm, because physical capabilities of our body can't handle what those drones can do.
You know? Well, I even seen that too. And even with my, I come from a safety background too, and how they would, even the way inspections were done on these big vessels where you just can't get into, or checking integrity of pipes and metal and things like that. They're just getting in, because of the maneuverability of it, doing inspections where
you could
never go before.
Like you go to some of the places around town here and you look at some of these roofs, and they are like those super slanted roofs that are about 70 degrees because they're really high peak, and you know, you can't get up there to inspect that easily and safely.
No, and a lot of house inspectors are doing just that. They're using a drone, going up there, taking pictures.
Yep.
you know,
being able to get right in close because the drone can fly about 2 feet away from it, and then they just zoom in the camera, and it's like, oh yeah, the points on your chimney look fine. You know, it doesn't need to be re.
Now all we need to do is find a way for drones to clean the house and do the dishes. Walk the dog. Well, I actually could walk the dog.
And that's where another episode might come out where we have the robots.
Oh.
And the automation. I want
one. Yeah. Right? Meow.
Hey, you could have a robot dog.
Yeah, the automation of our society.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've talked about how automated some of these drones are, but you know, on other episodes when we do robots, then you'll get into the real automation. Automation of industry, automation of robots.
Of your home.
Of cars. Yeah, Jess and I both have very automated houses that lights come on when you walk past them.
I draw the line at it talking to me, though.
Yeah. This is
when my toilet seat says, "You've got a good bowel movement today, Chris," I'm done.
Starting to kind of sound like a takeover again to me. So,
yeah.
Step at a time, fellas. Step at a time. Well, hey, that's drones.
It is.
A little part of it.
Yeah. There's like, if you guys are interested in drones, like we've just touched on some of it. Some of these are really neat. Look up
the delivery. Next time we go out skiing and snowboarding, Tim, we'll have to bring one with us and
just to take the
posterity of us dying.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because the last time I went, I just usually ride now, but I did try and take a jump, and there was some of these kids that can snowboard and ski. They're just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes later, when I did eventually get up, he came up to me and asked me if I was okay. And I said, yeah, I'm okay. He goes, that looked really great. That looked really great when you were in the air, but when I saw how your body moved, I couldn't even watch the landing, man. couldn't even watch it.
But if you had your own drone, you could see.
You could have seen it, yeah.
And everybody could have seen it.
And the drone would have good sound. You could even hear the bones break.
Wow. Yeah, I know that one hurt.
But yeah, no, this has been very entertaining. Thanks, Jess, for bringing us along and teaching us all this about drones today. And
absolutely, because once again, I knew that there was a lot of functionality to these things, but once again, really, when you put it in perspective like this, mind blown. Thanks again for letting us into your ear holes with this nerdish, nerdy nerd news podcast. Check out our website at wildshot.ca.
You can find us on all the socials under Nerdish, Nerdy, Nerd News. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also subscribe and support us at patreon.com/nerdish to get more bonus content, show notes, and merch.
If you'd like to send us topics for future episodes or comment about our existing ones, please email us info@wildshot.ca. And remember, stay nerdy.
Nerdish, nerdy, nerd news.